You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us in the studio as our guests this segment, Justin McGrail, the owner and a trainer at Pine Hill Kennels in Rockford. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Justin, the reason we wanted to have you into the studio to talk with us is my understanding is you purposefully train dogs for hunting. Can you talk a little bit about that for our audience?
Sure. We train all the sporting breeds that would be used for either waterfowl or upland bird hunting. So all your flushing breeds, retrievers, and all your pointing breeds.
Okay. And just so if people don't understand, what kind of birds are they specifically hunting?
Sure. Here in Michigan, we have pheasants, ruffed grouse, and woodcock. That would primarily be it.
Okay. And go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. Well, Justin, the one thing I was thinking is that we introduced it as Pine Hill Kennels.
Mm-hmm.
And reading through and understanding what you're all about, it's far more – you wouldn't know what your facility is unless you help explain to us what this kennel option is.
Sure. We have a boarding and training facility. We do training where the dogs stay with us full-time. We also do one-on-one private lessons for people who want to be more involved with the training process. And then we also have a shooting preserve, which is a stocked area where people can bring their dogs and know that their dogs are going to find some birds, because the wild pheasants in Michigan are pretty sparse, and ruffed grouse season is quite short, so it helps extend the season for the guys that have young dogs.
Now, how do you get the fowl that goes there or the various wildlife that you put in there?
Well, the birds are raised for that purpose. Okay. And stocked and released, and it just provides an opportunity for guys to extend their season.
Right.
From the wild bird season.
Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine that being more helpful than anything. You can't really train a dog if you have no place to go with
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Justin, what kind of dogs do you typically train? German short-haired pointers, is my understanding?
That's what we breed there, but we train all the pointing breeds. Just some of the most common ones we see would be the German short-hairs, English setters, English pointers, Brittany's, Vizslas, Weimaraners, and then a lot of Springer Spaniels, a lot of Labradors as well.
Interesting. And how do you go about training the dog? Because having spent a lot of time in the woods with my dog, boy, they have a field day running around out there, being able to go wherever they want to go. But I got to say, obedience goes out the window when we're in the woods and they're off of a leash. So how do you go about keeping them not only obedient in the woods, but actually keeping up the degree of stealth that you might need
sure.
for the purpose of hunting?
Yeah, well, it all starts with your foundation, obedience in a controlled environment. And then just like any other aspect of dog training, you need to proof that to include times of distraction, which there are loads of when you're off leash in the field, in the woods. And for these dogs, birds are the ultimate temptation and distraction. So it is a long process to get that degree of control. And every dog still has a threshold where the level of temptation and distraction exceeds the level of training at that moment. And we have to accept that because, yeah. after all, they are dogs. But we work at it. And it takes several seasons before the dog really matures and you get that combination of experience and training and everything comes together. And the real reward comes after 2 or 3 years and that dog is really putting it together.
And I'm thinking, if I were to have a hunting dog, you know, that's a bit more. We've spent all our time on the show talking about training them so they can be in the house or in the backyard or they can be civil members of our society. People coming into you probably have little notion, at least some of the individuals coming. Maybe they raised up in a family where there was hunting dogs. But I can imagine that more often than not, people come to you, they possibly don't really have much of a clue of what they're getting into, do they?
No, I would say at least half of my customers are first-time hunting dog owners.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very much helping them through the process is at least half of the job. You know,
sure.
you're helping the dog, but you
sure.
need to help them learn the ropes as well. Probably the biggest myth that I see with a first-time hunting dog owner is that being part of the family is somehow detrimental. We've heard that time and time again. Oh, you're going to spoil them having them in the house. There is no merit to that whatsoever.
Okay.
I believe, if anything, being a member of the family helps everything. Your training, everything goes smoother because you have such a tighter bond with the dog.
Right.
And the days of the hunting dogs kind of being kept out back, those are over. With the exception of the hound guys. All my bird dog clients, very much they're in the house with them. Half of them sleep on the bed.
And why is that still the case with hounds? Is that they're stronger odor?
Well, possibly. But I think it probably stems from the fact that I don't know anyone who has a hound. They have six or eight, and okay. I don't want six or eight hounds in my house either. But most bird hunters have one or two dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when... How often with these new people coming in do they actually get it? I mean, is it usually a pretty good conversion rate? Do they understand what they're getting into, or is there typically problems associated with that?
There's always a few minor problems along the way, but they need to gain experience just like their dog. So it's a learning process.
So their ears are up as well, huh?
Oh, yes.
They pay close attention.
We hope so.
And Justin, how much of the problem is that a lot of times the dogs that you see, these dogs are really meant to spend a lot of time running around and exercising. How often is it that people have them and aren't aware or aren't fulfilling the need for exercise that these dogs tend to have?
Very common, and especially the first 2 years of the dog's life before they start to mature and kind of reach adulthood. Puppies, everything is exciting, everything is tempting, everything is distracting. Puppies need off-leash exercise time, and not everyone's home environment is suitable for that. I think the invisible fences have helped that a lot for people. They can give that dog that freedom, and yet it's still kind of secure and safe and contained. Mm-hmm. But for these young sporting breeds, the 20-minute walk on a leash in the neighborhood, that's not enough. You know, that dog needs that outlet for that energy.
Right. And a lot of times, if they don't get that, that's typically what leads to the bad behavior that they'll exhibit in the house, the chewing, the barking, and all of that, correct?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's funny, Rick, because having babysat for English pointers, I got to tell you, where I complain about how much energy my Aussies need to expend, these pointers are worse. I mean, they will go running and jumping, and there is no end to the boundless energy that they have.
So for the people that have these and they're in the house as pets, they're running them out the back door, outside, when they start getting into a training mode, is there some training that they need to kind of control the animals? Is there like a preset idea that in your mind, when you meet the people, how you're going to have to actually get them to think what's necessary? I know on our show quite commonly when Mike Morgan is here, and he'll be here on the show today, I noticed the most important thing is not so much the dog, but trying to make sure that people understand their relationship with the dog and that they need to have control over that situation. Do people have that coming in with hunting dogs? Is that an issue with hunting dogs?
It is. How the dog is handled very much influences their performance in the field.
Okay.
Many dogs are overhandled. Many dogs are too passively handled. So every dog has a sweet spot, and your job as its handler and its hunting partner is to be a good pilot. You need to know how to work that dog to help him be the best that he can be.
And that's where maybe having them in the house with you on a day-to-day basis, you at least know the dog, you know how to dance with it, and probably once they're indoors, once you train the people how to kind of have that relationship, they can reiterate that and reinforce that in the home as well, I assume.
Certainly. Sure. And you will not be a good dog handler until you know a dog well enough that you can anticipate what he's going to do next. And when that dog is a member of your family and you live with them on a daily basis, you know them just that well.
Sure.
And they know you well.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where you really can get that relationship.
Now, one thing that might be a little foggy on individuals is their individuals will have different breeds of animals and probably want to bring them there just because they don't necessarily see why their particular breed, let's say, I need to be careful here because I might pick a breed that you can train, but someone's Chihuahua or whatnot,
sure.
They want to bring it to you and actually get it to go out and hunt. What are the limitations with any particular breed, and why are we just talking about certain species of, or not species, but certain breeds of dogs?
Yeah, certain breeds are going to be a very high percentage bet to turn out to be the type of dog that someone's looking for. I have trained several dogs over the years that are not conventional sporting breeds.
Okay.
But someone wanted to give them a chance because that's the dog they had.
Okay.
At a minimum, we need interest in game. You know, that dog needs to have interest in birds and bird scent and like to go out and seek that. If they have that, at a minimum, we can usually shape them into some sort of a functional hunting dog.
So what's one of the more, like, left curve breeds that you've actually caught the scent and got them out there and actually trained them?
Yeah. The one that really stands out is a dog I trained named Shooter, who we can only speculate at what she was. She was found just kind of abandoned as about a four-month-old puppy. I look at her. She looked like a very small, husky-type mix. She actually almost looked similar to a coyote. She had blue eyes, though, and keenly interested in game, but very much took a lot of work to teach her that this is something we do together.
And, a little independent.
And she belonged to an owner who was an avid hunter. I got a great start on her, and she turned out to be just a wonderful hunting dog for him.
That's awesome.
We're talking this morning with Justin McGrill, the owner of Pine Hill Kennels. And it's funny that you say that, Justin, because I've often said that with my Australian Shepherds, I have two of them that have ball drive going out of style. But one of them that we have right now has prey drive. He does not have ball drive. So when I'm playing ball with the one, he doesn't care. But boy, when a bunny rabbit shows up or a bird shows up in the backyard, he is off. And it's the only time that he really goes off. And I don't think that's very natural for a dog like that. So I got to believe somebody like you got to him at a pretty early age before we adopted him and did that kind of training. So I can definitely say as a testimony, I've seen that before. Sure. Now, in terms of recognizing the capacity, how does a dog demonstrate that he has that particular drive? What is it that you need to see in order to know that this dog does have that prey drive and can be trained?
Well, at a pretty young age, and when I say that, usually somewhere between 4 and 6 months, we will take the dog to the field in a situation where we know there are some game birds and just sit back, engage his reaction. Where's his level of interest? We see everything from a dog who's about coming out of his skin and going after him just with everything he has to what I've always called the snake in the grass syndrome, which is when that dog scents birds, boy, there's something alive in there, and I'm not too sure what that is, and they're a little bit shy on it, and everywhere in between. So that's where we start, just to gauge what we have to work with. But the guys who are fairly serious about their bird hunting, they do a lot of homework, and what we're really looking at is their parents. All the instincts that we look for are genetically transmitted to the pup. So we really are strong proponents of good breeding because that makes everything go smooth and easy and makes the whole process more fun for the owners, myself, and the dog.
And how long does it typically take for you to get a dog to the point where they really can be trusted out with these distractions and they really become the functional partner that you're looking for in hunting as opposed to something that you have to really look out for when you're out hunting?
Sure. Well, we're always looking out for them, regardless of age or level of training. Never take any chances around roadways, of course. So that's never lost from our mind, regardless of how well trained the dog is. But probably, and on an average, 2 to 3 seasons of hunting, and you're training them here and there along the way. You know, they're not in full-time training nonstop. You don't go from puppy to finished dog in one stint. Usually by 2 to 3 years of age, they've reached their potential, and from there on, it's just gaining experience. They do continue to get better and better, and their prime years are usually from 4 until the work starts to catch up with their body, which is usually around 10 years old.
You have 60% of their life, you know, really, you know, using the skills that they got, and 40% of their life just trying to get them in that position that they're doing it.
It is unfairly brief. It really is.
And then there's the next dog to train and move forward with. So, wow.
And when it comes to dealing with water, have you seen where certain dogs just are easier to train in water settings? Because I would imagine that that becomes part of the lay of the land and can affect things. Because I've seen some dogs that are afraid to go in water and other dogs that you can't get them out of the water. So how does that affect the training when it comes to these hunting dogs?
Sure. Well, for your duck and goose hunters, dealing with water is a fact of life. And so they choose the breeds that tend to do water work well. Your Labs, your Chesapeakes, your Golden Retrievers, Springer Spaniels can do a good job at water. For the upland dogs, they certainly in the course of upland bird hunting are going to come across water. So they need to at least be able to cope with it. But I have an English pointer that would go a half mile out of his way to go around a mud puddle that was a half inch deep. So he just will not get his feet wet. And I have tried and tried and tried. I'm not going to change that. So I have to work with that.
Interesting. And what about, I know when I was growing up, one of the things that we always talked about is a dog being gun shy.
Yes.
Is that typical? Is that something that you can work out of the dog? Or if it's a gun shy dog, then that automatically means that he's not a hunting dog.
Oh, I'm really glad you brought that up. Many people are under the impression that a dog either is or isn't gun shy, and one day you just have to shoot a gun around him and see which one you have.
Okay.
A dog is not born afraid of something they've never heard before. That is a learned fear. So introduction to the gun and gunfire is a part of all the young dog's training. Every dog, I believe, has an avenue to get them comfortable with gunfire.
Uh-huh.
Now, that being said, there are dogs that are so bold and confident that you couldn't make them gun shy if you tried. And there are dogs that are very shy of many things. So introduction properly is the key.
Okay.
Well, the other thing I can say is if you live close enough to a shooting reserve, the dogs can definitely get used to it.
Sure.
Because that's something that
sure.
I've got. And my dogs are oblivious to the shooting of guns, which takes place every weekend. We've been talking this morning with Justin McGrail, the owner of Pine Hill Kennels from Rockford, Michigan. Excuse me. Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a conversation with Mike Morgan, our good friend and dog trainer from Mid-Michigan Kennels, and continue the conversation about training dogs for different functions here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.